Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we're going to do a call-in about memories. Memories that you heard this weekend with your family around the holiday table. Today, one of my producers came in and said she was at Christmas dinner with her grandmother, who spoke about attending a Veterans Day parade in the 1920s for men who had fought in the Civil War. The most vivid thing her grandmother remembers is one of the veterans losing control of his wheelchair and rolling right towards her. And everyone around the table laughed at this story. But it got us thinking here at the show about how personal memories are such a special way to understand and reinvigorate history. And, you know, just the idea that somebody living today remembers an encounter with somebody who fought in the Civil War, even an encounter as minimal as that, is pretty amazing. So the question is, what memories from history did you hear this weekend from friends, loved ones, and family that go way, way back? What do you think is the oldest memory you heard at your family gathering this weekend for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever? Or we can even expand it. What's the oldest memory you have ever heard from the oldest person you have ever known? Keep the oral history alive. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How far back can we go with some of you? Did anyone have a great aunt who remembers riding in a first edition Model T? Whatever. What was her take on this story? Was it scary? Was it exciting? Didn't have a roof. How was the wind? The rain? Did your grandparents take a vacation to Europe just as World War II was beginning to bubble, or tell you a story about what they heard about World War I? And what did they see? What personal touches might you give us from your own family stories, maybe a few of which came up over the weekend as families gathered for the holidays? Touches on historic events that are personal or on public or cultural life that are more broadly meaningful maybe than your family. You know, this is not my aunt broke her leg when she was three, right? This is a take on historic events, public events, cultural life of a long, long time ago that you can relate because you heard it from someone who's been alive a long time. Let's bring together some of those moments of personal and let's bring together the personal and historical and see how far back we can go. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. All right, it's your personal touches on historic events, on public or cultural life from long ago. Let's bring together the personal and the historical and see how far back we can go with stories that maybe you heard from your oldest relatives over this holiday weekend or really at any time. 212-433-WNYC. And Allison in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allison. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just absolutely love it. So my grandmother, I've called in before. My grandma is 100. She'll be 108 on January 1st.
Wow.
And she really is wonderful, all there brain-wise. And she talks about her grandfather. Now, I said the Franco-Prussian War, but, you know, I'm not quite sure, truthfully. War in about 1870, they were in, you know, Russia, Poland, you know, on the border, and how he was the grandfather. So she's born in 1909. Her father was born somewhere in, you know, 1870, and how her grandfather was a soldier in the war, and he, you know, he went to the back of the line. I mean, you know, who knows? I think it's true. Went to the back of the line and basically ran away, you know. And then
survival, you know, is the first instinct of every species, right?
So we got those stories, plus vivid stories of she was born in Staten Island and, you know, what Staten Island was in 1910, 15, you know, and going up.
You have any one anecdote like that? Do you remember anything she said about what Staten Island was like in 1915 or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, just how country it was, obviously, and her father, who was a shoemaker and who had a business, and, you know, just all about their house that had, you know, at first no toilet, no electricity, of course, and then they were one of the first homes that had an indoor toilet because he wanted, you know, the best for his family, you know, and then just the cars, you know, the start, you know, of using a car. I mean, everything is just whatever she says is amazing. And, you know, all the sad stuff. She had a brother who was killed by kind of gangsters, you know, when he was 16. You know, it's an amazing life, you know. We've got, and I have children, you know, not obviously, but when I sit them down and I say, you see, I mean, can you believe what what you're hearing from your great-grandmother? Mm. You know, it is amazing.
Thank you very much. I really. By the way, my sister-in-law Judith Sloan, who's a performer, has a bit from one of her routines where she says she's playing an old immigrant person from that region, and she says, right. "In the old country, we ate our meals in the house, but we went outside to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Here, we go to the bathroom inside, but we eat out."
Very good.
Allison, thank you. Thank you very much. Johnny in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Johnny.
Hi. How are you doing, Brian?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and all the holidays. I don't want to get into that.
All the holidays. Whatever you celebrate. Happy it.
That's it.
So what's that oldest memory?
So I wanted to talk about when I was a kid, 4 years old, and I literally was on the bus, some City New York bus, the old ones. And there was, hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, so there was a general who was in full uniform, and I had a little kid trying to get up on the chair, put my hand on his leg, and he was very, perturbed, and he said, a person should know their place and everything like that. And then he started to ramble on, and my mother called me over to me, to her, and he was going about talking about things, how it was in the old days, you know, and I guess he was talking about racism or segregation, and how he had gone into a room during the Civil War and had organized something with other generals so that we could have the peace that we have. It was really interesting. And later on, I found out that he was an actual general that was in a fort that's in New York that they petitioned him to continue on as the general there, as I guess just to not retire him out of respect. And then
In what war?
Civil War.
The Civil War. So as a four-year-old, you had a chance, stranger encounter with a retired Civil War general.
Yes, I think he was the last living one at that. And I remember how he looks. He had like a mustache. And I saw his painting hanging in one of the forts that they rent out to do catering and events for city officials and stuff like that.
And your interaction with him was, kid, keep your hands to yourself.
It was more of a history lesson because I got this feeling that he felt indignant about the fact that he had to be elbow to elbow with common folk or whatever, you know, and it was really incredible. And the other thing is that I found a letter from George Washington.
Really?
It was in the back of an old painting, watercolor and ink, University Avenue in the Bronx, in the old church, behind the old church. They had thrown it out.
You found a letter from George Washington In a church in the Bronx?
Yes, it was written from George Washington to somebody named Grant. And it was in the Old English.
Do you remember something it said?
Yeah, I remember. It was something about he regrets that it's come to this. And you look at the handwriting. As the handwriting is being written, you can tell, like, he's perfectly on everything. And then he reaches a point where you think he's going to miss the letter, and he puts the A right on the spot it's supposed to be. Okay. It's just beautiful, the old S's that look like S. It was really something that, it's amazing. It's amazing. I think if I could have saved that letter, that it would have been very important. The fact is it disintegrated in the air.
Wow.
Yeah, huh. It was. And the thing is, the painting itself was overlooking Manhattan at the point where Manhattan and the Bronx meet by a tiny little bridge. In the painting, there was a covered bridge, one of those old covered bridges that have the house on it. It looks like a house. And then you could see into, like, Manhattan. It was all, like, a farm. And there was this, like, state house.
Yeah.
And you could see the slaves working the field and everything.
In Upper Manhattan, if it was across from the University Heights section of the Bronx. Johnny, thank you for those memories. Thanks for keeping the oral history alive. Thank you very much. Those are amazing stories. That letter from George Washington was real. Too bad he couldn't get that to a paper conservator, right? But he said it disintegrated in just minutes in the air. Karen in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
It was interesting. I actually had a conversation with my 81-year-old mother this week and just asked her to share with me stories about growing up during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just interesting, just the sense of community that it fostered. She talked about how in 1941, her family from New York went up to visit her in Western Mass, and there was this sense that this could be the last time the family was able to get together, and there was tremendous poignancy about it. And then later about how she and her mother and her two brothers, would walk 8 blocks with a wagon to go stand in line with their food rationing coupons to wait in line for meat and sugar and other things. And it was just fascinating to hear her talk about the sense of community that they all had. And even though there were strict limitations on what they could have and their luxuries, she said it was really a wonderful time. Even though there was tremendous fear and uncertainty, the sense of community was palpable.
Of course, that kind of thing came up when 9/11 happened, and President Bush said everybody should keep shopping. And that was a reflection of the modern era of, the economics, I guess, afraid that the economy would collapse because people would get too afraid to spend money and that could really hurt people. So it certainly was said earnestly. But people, I remember from 2001, people contrasted that with stories like you were just telling about how they sacrificed and stood in line for things. And the point was not to spend money so everything could go to the war effort in World War II. So times were so different, and I guess the effect on national unity was so different.
Yeah, it was very interesting, just to listen to her point of view on it and just, the thought of would people today be willing to make those kinds of sacrifices and be rationed? It's kind of hard to imagine that people in today's day and age would be willing to sacrifice so much for a larger cause.
Karen, thank you very much. James in Ramsey, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Hi, Brian. I thought my story was pretty terrific until I heard some of those others. They're great. And your screener made me pull off the road, so he's really knows what he's doing.
We try. We think in general that it takes a little too much concentration to talk on the radio while you're driving. If people, have your hands-free devices and you're in your patterns, it may be dangerous anyway, but we think it's different than talking to somebody at home, bring home a quart of milk. If you're on the radio, you're not used to being on the radio. So I'm just explaining, to everyone, that's why we ask people who are driving if you want to be on the air to pull over. Anyway, go ahead. What's your story?
Well, my mom is 100, and she was telling us a story about when she was a little girl, probably 4 or 5 years old, which would have made it 1920, 1921. when she lived in Montreal, and the family all had to go to church in a horse-drawn sleigh. And it was so cold that they would take bricks that they had warmed in the probably wood-burning stove, because they didn't have a fireplace, and put it at their feet, wrapped in blankets. And Papa, she called him, and her older brother would be driving the sleigh with the horse. And it was so cold that Papa and the older brother had to get off of the sleigh and walk next to the horse to absorb some of the horse's heat on the way to,
wow,
to church.
So the one horse open sleigh actually
it
came from real life.
It certainly was. And she has some wonderful stories of growing up in Montreal, but that's the one that comes to mind.
James, thank you so much. Let's get one more in here. Robert in Turtle Bay. Robert, we've got about a minute left in the segment. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, and thank you for the gig. You're important.
Thank you.
My grandfather was one of the first of a group of men hired to build the Panama Canal. When he got down, when the boot got down to Panama, they discovered that the black laborers were paid only 50% less than the white laborers.
Huh.
So they went on strike, and they held up the operation for a couple of months, and were then all sent back to the States. And the contractor then went to Jamaica and Barbados and hired blacks there who agreed to work for 50% less than the white laborers.
Wow, that's some story. What year, roughly?
About 1911.
Yeah, wow. And you know, it's an issue to this day. We covered it on the show during the campaign. In anti-discrimination legislation, whether workers should have the right under federal law to discuss their salaries with each other. Because some companies have a no discussing your salary with your colleagues policy. And there's a bill in Congress that I think hasn't passed that would give you the right to discuss your salary with your colleagues and therefore discover situations like you were just describing with your grandfather, that one based on race.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you with your calls. We should do this once in a while because there are a lot of people we're leaving on the table here with unbelievable old stories from your oldest relatives, some of which got shared this weekend at your holiday gatherings. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, time for some traffic problems on the George Washington Bridge. This is not a Bridgegate segment, I promise. This is pedestrians and bicyclists on the George Washington Bridge. We'll explain.